And so this exuberant moment has met us again. The one time of the year when the school is reconstituted and matriculation arrives, may we never lose the sense of thrill and of joy of this day of new beginnings. Some of you have said goodbye to siblings and father and mother mater and said hello to alma mater, from mother to soul mother, and here we are together in this service of worship. Spiritual life in college begins with a walk, as you have taken a walk through the dim mist of this Lord's Day this morning. Walk slowly, that 1-2, left, right, love, dove, soli, sombra, left foot, right foot, hay foot, straw foot. It's the body, but it's the soul alive as you walk along this and every day, every Lord's Day. Because you have done so well on the SAT, many of you have been admitted to Boston University, and so already you know the meaning of the great French phrase, flâner dans les rues, meaning to saunter, holy, saunter down the street, to absorb the sights and sounds of the walkway. You're going to take a walk in a moment up to the great matriculation service just early this afternoon. Winston Churchill said of Commonwealth Avenue, though he really meant the blocks to the east, "It is the most beautiful street in America." He was not wrong. So walk, walk in the morning, walk, walk at midday, walk, walk in the evening, walk, walk in the autumn and the sunshine, walk in the snow when it comes in a day or three, but walk. Especially walk this way, the one walk on which all others depend, so balefully unappreciated here and there, but it is so true, is your walk here to lift in song and prayer, in voice and scripture, what lasts, matters, counts, on which you depend. That is, come Sunday, we gather to remind one another that you are, we are, you are a child of the living God, and we are children together of God. So walk slowly in the spiritual life you lead in college. Now that you're here, you will listen, of course. So you are here, so you can hear. Listen intently the beautiful readings from Moses to Matthew, and all in between themselves can be the gospel. Listen. Faith comes by hearing, not by seeing. Faith comes by hearing, not by scanning. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen for a word of faith in a pastoral voice toward a common hope. For a word of faith in a pastoral voice toward a common hope. Listen intently. Our passage from Matthew 16 was written in the year 85. Jesus taught in the year 30, and in between there were many conversations, listening and speaking. Do you notice this teaching is actually at daggers drawn with itself? On the one hand, you have a fairly liberal statement. Those who save their life will lose it. Those who lose their life will save it. That is, those who give and give liberally and give not counting the cost. But on the other hand, a more conservative rendering saying, what can one give for one's life? Liberal, conservative, giving, protecting, hour by day, by month, which shall it be for you? Ah, that's where conscience comes in, and that's where we say in that beautiful old American English idiom, it's up to you. Or as the Scots would put it, you need to keep your wits about you. Listen carefully to what is said, and also to what is not said, to the dog that does not bark, and push and challenge your friends, your roommates, your teachers, your professors, your ministers, your preachers, to determine over time in a lasting fashion what holds, what is real in life. Listen carefully. Read. Now we are a reading people. If there is one joy that we could conjure in the few months and years of college, is a lifelong love of reading and of reading together. These scriptures are the stories of faith that guide us one by one, and guide us together as well. This generation of the class of 2021 has, with the rest of the world, come of age breath by breath since the time of the downing of two twin towers. You know, in the year 2011, as the university chaplain to offer condolence, I telephoned the 50 or 60 families who had suffered loss in that hour. Some had changed their number. Some didn't answer. Some answered by answering machine. Some picked up, listened, said thank you and goodbye. And a few spoke in conversation. You have come in breath to breath in this era of terror taking down a tower, and of fear taking down a tower. But you know, by analogy, this is a rhetorical move now. I'm going to ask you to think about, in analogy, two other towers that also, in part, have come down in this generation past. One is the tower of peace, and one is the tower of voice. Terror plus technology leads to trouble. Fear plus falsehood leads to fascism. The good news is that this generation, with others beside it, has a chance, as was done physically in the southern tip of Manhattan, to rebuild the tower together, to rebuild the towers of peace and of voice. Your voice is the most important, personal and important thing about you. It's more true to yourself than your skin pigmentation, your hair color, your fingerprint, your gait. It is your own most self. Against all technological odds in these years, find your voice, partly in reading and carefully noting. And there will come a time when you want to memorize what you have read. Professor Jones, I don't know him, Trinity College, I don't know it, said in print this week, I know what he means, sometimes you just need to memorize things, because then you see, you notice how you notice, you read how you read, you understand the habits that give you your habitual being. So as this congregation knows from earlier infliction, today's epistle is one dear favorite of mine. Take the scripture that you know and hold it. Yes, you know the Lord's Prayer and the Beatitudes and the Apostles' Creed and the Ten Commandments, but find a scripture that is yours like this. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Never lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Read carefully. And think in spiritual life and college. Heather Heyer's mother had something to say after the tragic events in Charlottesville, did she not? Do you remember what she said? Her admonition began with the word think, but it concluded. She was speaking to the erstwhile leader of the free world as she mourned the loss of her daughter, who had been killed in a tide of white racism, in a tide of ethnic nationalism. We are in through the first year of a decade of humiliations. You're 0.9 of the way through. Our granddaughter all summer said, her birthday was in late August, and she said, June, July, and early August, she said, I'm 4.9, I'll soon be 5. You're 0.9, and you've got 9.1 years of work and labor and external humiliation before we move through this cultural collapse. What did Heather Heyer's mother say mourning the loss of her daughter? She said maybe she was thinking about Edward Baptist's book at Cornell some years ago, "The Half Has Never Been Told, Slavery and the Making of American Capitalism." You know, we live in a house 19 stories high, and we're at the top, but the first three stories were built with stolen land and slave labor. It makes it a difficult place to be, said her mother, speaking to the erstwhile, the Germans have a phrase, the sogenannte leader of the free world. Think before you speak. Think before you speak. In this year, this season of spiritual growth, may your spiritual life in college, this and this year and every year in the years to come, involve a capacity to walk slowly, to listen intently, to read carefully, and to think before you speak. Boston University, proud with mission sure, keeping the light of knowledge high, long to endure, treasuring the best of all that's old, searching out the new, our alma mater evermore. Hail be you.